Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll also go to Galatians chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and then Galatians chapter 4. A lot of coughing and hacking going on, including me, and apologize for that. Cough drops and whatnot, but it's just going around this time of year, as usual. But appreciate being with us in church today. What we have today is, this is going to be a little bit unusual, and it's going to mean different things to different people. And I think everybody in here will get something from the message today, but it will be definitely applied differently depending on your situation. So we'll start in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Then over in Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you now for opportunity to talk about you, our Heavenly Father, and help us to learn from you and learn more about ourselves as we learn from you. Help us to see what you'd have us to see today, to apply it to the areas of our life where it needs application, and help me to be able to deliver your message clearly, and that souls would be saved as a result of our meeting and worshiping you today. We thank you for the addition of a new member this morning. We thank you for the baptism next week. We thank you for all that are here today. We thank you for Larry being with us. And I pray that you'll continue to strengthen him. Thank you for our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, I want to point out adoption. I have 3 points today. Number one, adoption. The Father's example of discipline and love. You and I are only here as Christians if we are saved by adoption. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, that we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And because of adoption, we were under bondage, but God saved us and gave us adoption. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He's the only biological or begotten Son of God. However, a lot of modern Bible versions will say in John 3:16 and other places, they'll say his one and only son. That's not right. It's not right to say that Jesus is his one and only son. And the reason why is because I'm a son of God by adoption. Now, I'm not the only begotten son. There's only one of those. That's him. That's Christ. But those of us who are saved, we're saved by adoption. So it's wrong. And one of the many, many reasons why we don't use modern versions is one and only son is not right. Because we can also be sons of God. Now, we say the word son. The Bible uses the word son, the masculine tense. But it's no different than if we said mankind. We understand it means, or humankind. We don't say human. We say human. And it just means humankind or mankind. And so when we see sons, it's just talking in general terms of mankind all together. And so if you're a girl or a lady and you're saved, you're a daughter of God. All right. But adoption is a special thing. And it says in 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What an amazing thing. Just stop and think about the adoption process. Just think about how special it is that God would take you and I and adopt us into his family. We don't deserve it. We can't really understand why he would do it. His only begotten son was perfect. his only begotten son has never embarrassed him. But there are many of his adopted children that have. But God's only begotten son is our example. And so I love to say that once he adopted Matt Furze and I became a part of his family, then what God did is God the Father said, now, you see my only begotten son? He said, I want you to be like him. And it's a lifelong process trying to be like him, because I can't be perfect until I get to heaven. But my goal and my desire is to be more like Christ. And that's, he is my example, my pattern. And so we have adoption. Now, along with being a father and a parent, the Bible tells us some things in the book of Proverbs. I want to go to Proverbs and I want to show you some principles that we find in the book of Proverbs. And so Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read, in fact, we're going to read two verses that were quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. And this is where it comes from. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Listen to me. God does never have to correct Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs no spankings. He needed no correction in any way. However, his adopted children, that's a different story. His adopted children, those of us who are saved, there's correction that is needed. There's instruction. There's going to be some chastisement and some chastening that needs to happen. Can I get a witness? Anybody else agree with that? I mean, there's just going to be some chastening that goes on. Now, humanly speaking, we go to chapter 19. I want to show you some things that we should do from the Word of God. I spank my children. You just saw all four of my children sing. Now, I'll just tell you right now that I don't remember exactly the last time any one of those four got a spanking. And that's a good thing, right? hopefully by the time they get to be old enough to drive a car, they aren't still needing a lot of spankings. However, it's not beyond the possibility of a spanking, even at this age. I'm just going to say that right now because Caleb's sitting in here and he might try something. You never know. Last year, we brought a young man into our home and he was in our home for a while. And I think it was in the first week or two, there was this, it's a CPVC. It's hollow. It's plastic. It's CPVC. And it's about maybe 2 feet long or so. And it was just sitting in the hallway or right next to Caleb's room. And it's been sitting there for probably 15, 16 years. And this young man said, hey, what's this? And I just kind of smiled and I said, that's why my kids behave so well. And he looked at me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I think you know what I mean. He said, no. No, you're not telling me the truth. I said, go ask him. So one of them came home a little bit later. I think it was Caleb. He said, Caleb, what is this? And Caleb said, oh, that's what makes me behave. And the young man knew it's true. Now, listen, that piece of plastic is not what makes my children behave. It's just a part of it. What makes my children behave is obeying the Bible and doing what God's Word says. All right? In other words, my children are not behaved because of spankings. My children, are, if they're behaved, it's because I obey God who says I should do that. All right? And Delmer is here, and I know that he knows a lot about horses, a lot more than I do. And I know that if you're going to train a horse, you got to start when they're young. When you're still stronger than they are or as strong as they are, you got to start and let them know who's boss. And you train them and you discipline them so that when they get big enough to kick you across the corral, they won't. And they'll listen. And so, listen, we train and we have to start that at a young age. And so my wife and I had the advantage that some people don't have. My wife and I both grew up in Christian homes where we already had this practice with us. So then when we came together as husband and wife, we already had a head start compared to some people about how we're to discipline. Usually what happens is the oldest gets very spoiled because parents don't know what to do and they don't know how to handle this child or whatever. And they're not sure. And so that those things will happen. Listen, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is our guide, our map book. Now, if you're sitting here saying, well, I'm not a parent or I'm a grandparent. Why? Well, this has nothing to do with it. Listen, it will. But understand, there are some younger families in here that might need to hear this part of the message as well. So Proverbs 19, verse 18, it says this, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know, we're supposed to use the opportunity to spank and not allow our soul to spare for crying. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you what, and I'm not saying it's just the ladies, but a lot of times it seems like it is the mothers, you know, and that just immediately freezes us, you know, and tears freeze us, right? And it's not just the ladies, right? Oh, there's crying. And so there's times where a child will bend over and you go like this and they're already crying. And you haven't even hit them yet, you know. Now, where do you hit them, by the way? On the head? No. God's given everybody a nice, cushy spot filled with lots of nerve endings that will sting but never really do any damage. And so, I would tell Miss Wilma sometimes, look, they're faking it. They're playing your emotions. Don't let them do that. Don't let their soul spare for their crying. It doesn't take long for a child to figure out, man, if mom and dad will stop as soon as I cry, I'll just cry real, real soon, you know. But you want to make sure that you don't give in or get fooled by crocodile tears. Chapter 29 and verse 17. Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. On Monday, I'll just give you the answer here. Sparing the rod is stressful and frustrating. On Monday, I was in Hobby Lobby. And there was this poor lady in there. And she was trying to negotiate with two young people. And she was losing. She was doing a poor job. I mean, and I kept hearing, it was the next aisle over, and I kept hearing, if you do that again, you better stop. I'm telling you for the last time. But she kept saying that, see? And I don't know if she was the mother or the grandmother. I couldn't tell for sure. I wanted to step in and say, hey, you need to listen to your mom. And I thought, well, if I step in and say, hey, you need to listen to your grandma, and it's really their mom, I'm really good. She's going to hit me, you know? So, but this boy and this girl were just running her around in circles. And I was frustrated listening to it. I felt sorry for her. Listen, sparing the rod is stressful and frustrating. It just causes so much stress and frustration. And the Bible tells us, see, it's from the Bible. It says that if you correct your son, he'll give you rest, delight to your soul. You say, yeah, but my situation's different. The Word of God was written by the one who knew everybody that ever lived and that ever will live. There isn't one person living right now that God looked down and said, oh, I didn't include a special section for him. I should have put an appendix in the Bible for him. No, everybody God already had it in mind when he wrote the Bible. A lot of times the problem is that we start late, just with a horse. You start late with a horse, you're going to have trouble. We have a plum tree at our house. It's a really nice plum tree. However, it's growing in the most unfortunate spot. It's growing right behind our shed. And it's growing at a weird slant. But it's a nice, some years it'll even produce plums. But you know what? It's too late for me. It's too late for me to try to do anything about it. And all I can do is prune it and take care of it and do the best I can with it as is and still train it and maintain it. But it's too late for me at that thick of a trunk. It's too late for me to yank it over and try to, because why? It's too far bent that way. And so we have to be careful if someone hasn't been trained properly younger that we don't yank too hard too fast. And you know what I mean. I think there's some green thumbs in here to understand that. But sparing the rod is stressful and frustrating. And we have to take time and maybe undo some things. I heard this as an illustration one time. I think you'll understand it. I heard a preacher say this. Said, listen, mom and dad, if you're fat, if you're fat and you've had poor eating habits for a long time, you might not be able to undo that. But you should at least sit down with your child and say, listen, I don't want you to end up unhealthy like I am. And so I'm going to teach you and discipline you and show you some things and teach you some things that you're not going to be able to look at me as the example. But you're going to at least listen to me to what I'm saying because I don't want you to be like I am. Now that requires humility, doesn't it, on the part of the parent. My children were going through some old stuff that my mom and dad had, old memorabilia of mine. And they were laughing at some of the things I was writing and doing and saying back when I was 18 years old. I said, hey, listen, I didn't grow up like you guys. I wasn't like you guys, because they were like, Dad, you were really, and I said, that's why I wanted to work harder on you guys, because I wanted you to grow up better than I did. But don't be afraid to tell your children, hey, I'm not perfect, and I messed up here, I messed up there, but sparing the rod is stressful and frustrating. And having a guilt trip because you didn't grow up that way, or you're harder on your kids, or more strictful, more expectation of them than you had. Don't let that guilt trip cause you to spare the rod. It becomes stressful and frustrating. Look at chapter 13 and verse 24. We'll get back to God's part in this in a minute. But the truth is, God has a part in all of this, because who wrote these verses? This is His word. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. I don't know of anybody in here that would say you hate your children. But I really think there are people who in the long run hate their children. I think there are people who selfishly choose to have a good, fun time with children, as opposed to giving them what they need, even though they don't want it. And I would say it this way. I would rather in their 30s or even in their 20s, but I'd rather in their 20s or 30s to look at me and say, I'm so thankful that guy was strong and strict with me. And I love him for it. Versus when they're 15 saying, man, my dad's cool. He lets me do whatever I want. And then when they're 35, their hearts are broken. And they're very mad and frustrated. I think there's a lot more of those kind running around. Years ago in Gillette, Wyoming, when I was just a teenager, a man in our church was telling me about his neighbor. His neighbor worked at the coal mines. And every time he had his off days, he would hand a $100 bill. This is back in the 80s. He would hand a $100 bill to his daughter and a $100 bill to his son and say, I don't care what you do, just stay out of my hair all weekend. This is my time off. A 15-year-old kid would say, wow, what a cool dad. But I think a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old would say, that wasn't really a cool dad. I was only worth $100 to him to stay out of his hair. Don't hate your children. Spank them. Discipline them. You know why? God does. God disciplines us because He loves us. He doesn't hate us. And we'll show you that in a minute. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That doesn't mean 100 whacks every time. I think that'd be abuse to hit someone that many times. But usually 3 swats are enough for us at our house. But many different times we'd have to discipline and chasten our children. I was not raised like this myself. When I was 4 years old, my dad had gotten saved when I was just a baby or just about to be born, and neither one of them had grown up in church. My mother was saved as a teenager, but she never went to church. And she was saved as a teenager at a vacation Bible school. So my dad got saved after they were married. And they were just learning, so they were catching up to all this. And so when I was about 4 or 5, my mom enrolled me in this preschool. And at the preschool, they had the philosophy that, you know, you need to allow children to express themselves, you know. So then I would express myself. And if I didn't like something, I'd throw it across the room, you know. If I didn't like something, I'd drop on the floor and throw a fit. I'd act like those kids at Hobby Lobby. I was expressing myself. After a while, my mom was sick of it. She was starting expressing herself, you know. And my dad was expressing himself. Why? That's stupid philosophy. That's that Dr. Spock stuff from back in the 70s. And it's ridiculous. And it's sad. And so my parents had to learn some tough lessons. And they struggled, I think, with me. Because I was very stubborn and bullheaded. And they had to stay on top of me. And I'm not recommending this is how it should happen, but I remember one time I was in Traverse City, Michigan, at the Cherry Creek Mall, I think it's called, Cherry something Mall, and I was like maybe first or second grade, and I was a brat, and my mom was bribing me like you see most parents do, and she was saying, now, if you'll behave, I'll give you this candy bar. Well, from that point on, I expected the candy bar. Well, the truth was, I didn't deserve it at all. Well, we had this long station wagon, so I'm way in the back, you know, and she's in the front, in this Chevy Caprice, and she's driving, and I was a brat the whole time at the mall. She still didn't give me the candy bar because I didn't deserve it. And so I'm in the back, and I'm just giving her what for about not getting my candy bar. I should have my candy bar. I should have my candy bar. When do I get my candy bar? And finally, she held up the candy bar and looked in the rearview mirror, and she said, you see this candy bar? She rolled down the window, and she went, and she kept driving. Now, folks, it should never get to that point because we should have better control of our children. But at least she was telling me, you're not the boss, and I owe you nothing, okay? When I got home, she marched me upstairs with my ear turned sideways, and she gave me a good spanking. I was so rebellious, I was rubbing my rear end on the floor, so angry, started kicking the door. Kicking the door, kicking the door, kicking the door. Boom, the door came open, round two started. She gave me another spanking. Listen, I needed that. I probably needed more of that, okay? There was stuff like that that happened. And so the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth the son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. There was never a time that my parents said, I've spanked and spanked and I'm tired of spanking. There was never a time. They had to win. That's the thing about it, is once you start, you have to win. You've seen me do this in church. Some of you have been here a while. I've said to so-and-so, if you do that again, we're going to have to send you home. And then they challenged me, didn't they? And I said, you're going home. Because you have to win. And that's the way it has to be. And here's why. You know why, Mom and Dad? Because we're representing who? We're representing God. You see, one day they're going to leave our house and they're going to have a different father that watches over them. Of course, he already is, but their heavenly father. And they need to understand that proper parenting is to be an example of who God is. God's the perfect parent. You and I aren't. But that perfect parent expects from us. See, so many people have such a wrong view of God. Some people think God is very mean and scary. And God is not mean and scary. But some people think they're raised that way, and they think that God is very mean and scary. Other people think that God is just sugary and sweet and gives you whatever you want. That's also wrong. There's a balance. God can be a very wrathful God of judgment, but when God is a father, he is never going to pour out his wrath on his children. Instead, he disciplines us. There's a difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline is from someone who loves you. Punishment is from someone who just wants to give you what you deserve. Parents should never punish their children. They should just discipline them. And I believe if they properly are disciplined, they'll never have to be punished by society. Hey, listen, we see here, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, look with me also in chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 13. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And that word beat, understand where we're talking about. We're talking about on the right part of the body, not beating like you think of beating today. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from where? Hell. It's literally a matter of heaven or hell. I'm not saying that by spanking my children, they automatically go to heaven. But when I obey God's word, and I discipline as he would discipline me, out of love, as correction should be handled, I believe that my children naturally, if I can say it that way, or supernaturally, want to believe in the same Heavenly Father that I exemplify. They want to believe in the one who I honor. And I do believe it's a matter of heaven or hell. And people who are spoiled, they know about God in their head, but they do not respect him or submit to him. And if they're spoiled, they think of God like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. God will just let me get away with anything. And they never understand that there is coming a day where God will have to punish the unsaved. He will. And if young people don't understand that God is to be feared if we disobey him, young people will never grow up with the fear of God that they should have. And so it literally is a matter of heaven or hell. So we have adoption, we have correction, and now we have perfection. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, the perfect one is God. I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced that the reason why many parents cannot properly raise their children is not because it takes a village. That's a bunch of baloney. And it's not because you need professional help. There are so many parents who are afraid that they're not good enough to take care of their children. Listen to me. Who did God give them to you? He gave them to you. God did not give them to the state. God did not give them to the doctor or the professional, quote unquote. God gave them to you as a parent. And God gave them to you with a manual. And we read a lot of the manual in Proverbs already. God gave his gift to you as a parent, and he gave a manual for you to follow. And he gave an example of himself to follow. And the reason why most people cannot parent correctly is because they are not understanding their God correctly. They don't recognize God as their Heavenly Father. They don't read their Bible to find out how he acts, how he treats us, how he treats his children and expects us to behave. And the more we'll get to know God, the better we'll understand how to be a father ourselves. The better we'll understand how to be a parent. We'll understand from his point of view. I have always had to remind myself and be aware of something. As we get ready to read this, we'll read about it in just a minute. But there are times when I wanted to discipline my kids simply for my own sake. In other words, they're in my hair, they're not listening, whatever it might be. Or they threw the ball and it smashed through the window. That's going to cost me $300 to fix that window. Come here, you kid. Blah, blah, blah. That's selfish spanking. Okay? $300. No. How many of you have seen something like this? Johnny, don't bounce the ball in the house. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Now, Johnny, don't bounce the ball in the house. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Johnny, don't bounce the ball in the house. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Smash. Lamp breaks. I told you not to bounce. You take the lamp and beat him with it or whatever. Hey, listen to me. That's cruel. You know why? It's not consistent. You told Johnny not to bounce the ball in the house, but what you also told Johnny is it doesn't really matter until you break something. Because when you break something, now it's serious. You know what should be serious? As soon as he disobeys. Years ago, I heard this story of a missionary with his son walking through the jungle, and his son decided to climb up into a tree just full of energy and climbs up into this tree. And the son climbs up into the tree, and the missionary is looking at the son climbing the tree, and all of a sudden the missionary says, "Hey, get down. Jump down right now." And the missionary said that boy just dropped immediately to the ground and ran to his dad. If you had a child or a grandchild that was climbing a tree and you said, "Hey, drop down and run to me now," would they run to you right now, or would they, "Why? I'm having fun"? Would they question you? What would they say? The missionary said, "My son couldn't see it, but right above him in the branches was a huge snake. It wasn't time to tell him anything. He just dropped to the ground now." I remember stories like that growing up, listening to some of those stories, and I remember thinking, it's important to obey right away. And of course, we would sing our Pastor the Pirate songs about obedience and things like that. But I realized, you know what? It's not a matter of whether or not it's a big deal because a window got smashed. No. Did they obey or not? And I realized, you know what? That's the way it is in the Bible. God doesn't say, "This is my suggestion to you, but it's not a big deal until you get hurt." That's not how he said. No, just children, obey your parents. And God expects us to just obey without knowing all the reasons why to obey. I was talking about Moses in Sunday school and how that he followed the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He didn't know why he was going to the Red Sea dead end, but God knew. And he obeyed. And I decided I want my children to obey just because it's right, not because it costs $300. Or not because something. No. Just because it's the right thing to do. And I'm thankful that at this point, they have a respect for God and his in obeying him. And I'd say even greater than even obeying me. They understand how perfect he is, and his word has to be feared. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says this, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 that God deals with us as a man with his son. Psalm 89, the Bible says that when we disobey and we do wrong, God will chasten us with a rod and take care of us, but he will still love us. It's important after the spanking that they understand that we still love them. It's important that after the discipline that the children understand that we still want to have fun and we still enjoy them. And there might be some discipline that takes place, and we might lose a candy bar, we might lose a privilege here or there, but we recognize that he still loves us and wants to make a way for us. I'll never forget years ago, I used to drive the basketball team for Larry Luchens. Custer High School, Custer Wildcats, Larry Luchens, winningest coach in South Dakota. And I would drive the school bus, and I would bring Caleb with me. Caleb was just a little guy. And sometimes I'd bring Caleb and Hannah both. And they were both little, and the high schoolers loved them. You know, they were a lot of fun. And Caleb loved going with me on the bus. And we'd drive to the games. Well, there was one particular time I was about ready for me to go. And my wife went into the bedroom. And there was a bunk bed. And Caleb was on top. Hannah was on the bottom at the time. And Caleb took from the post of the bunk bed, he drew a perfect railroad track clear across the wall in red permanent marker all the way around, looped all the way back around. And I mean, it was just an amazing permanent red marker railroad on the wall. And he knew better than that. He would do stuff. He carved something in an armoire that we had one time. He just loved to draw. And well, he knew better. He was old enough. He knew better. He knew it was wrong. I said, "Caleb, I want you to remember this so that you won't do it again. And so, Caleb, I can't take you with me." And I got in the car, and I drove down to the high school to go drive the bus. And I'll never forget Caleb's face smashed to the window, watching me drive. And I'm going to tell you right now, my heart felt so... I wish I hadn't made that rule, because I felt so bad, because I knew he loved it. But I also knew I had to keep my word. How many times does God break his word? He never breaks his word. See, we got to give our children a real good understanding of who God is. God, and our children need to know, it tore my heart out to watch you crying like that, but you got to know the word stays the word. And we don't change the rules. How many of you have met some young people who think we ought to change the rules? They're all over the place. That's what's wrong with our country. But when we give our families and our community the proper understanding of who God is and what he expects. God told David in 2 Samuel 7, he said, "When you have a son, I will be to him like a father. And if he goes off into sin, I will chasten him. And I will discipline him." Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Understand, Revelation 3:19, God's saying, if I love you, I'm going to rebuke you and I'm going to chasten you. That's what God says. Now, with that understanding, let's look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." You see, if you are enduring his chastening, you're a son. You know, one thing I've loved, you might think this is a strange statement, but one thing I have loved about God is his spankings. You say, really? I'll tell you why. Because the spankings from God are a confirmation in my heart that he loves me. I've gotten spanked from God. I've gotten spanked from my kid or from my parents, but I've gotten spanked from God. And I'm telling you right now, when I was getting spanked from God, I knew that God was taking care of business with me, and I needed it. I needed what he was doing. But I also was confirmed in my heart that he cares enough to spank me. I used to go to Star Academy. Star Academy Juvenile Center. And I'd talk about stuff like this with the kids there. And you could see it in their eye. There was a few of them, they'd look at me like, they've never had that. They never had a parent that cared enough to spank them. You could see it in their eye. And as I got older, I realized I was privileged to have a parent that cared enough to spank me. One time, my dad told me, when we get home, son, you're getting a spanking. And then he and another friend of his got busy. They got home and they started working on something. And you know what I did? I came to him. I said, Dad, you forgot about my spanking. That's kind of dumb, huh? But you know why I said that? Because I missed the attention. And he said, oh, yeah. And he wouldn't spank me. Oh, well, what did I do that for? Well, because I wanted him to. Don't forget me, Dad. Don't forget me. When I was a kid, I don't know, first grade, second grade, I got this bright idea to invite all my friends over, and we started playing with all my dad's tools. We had all of his tools out in the yard. And I mean, all of his tools spread out in the yard, and I was like a yard sale, you know, and my dad comes home from work, and there's his tools all over the front yard. Probably a lot of them missing. The ice cream truck had just come by. I bought a push-up, one of those sherbet push-ups. I was still eating half of it when he came home. When it was all said and done, I had melted push-up all down my arm and a very rosy rear end. But, you know, my dad never spanked any of the other boys in my neighborhood. Not one other kid in my neighborhood got a spanking, but I did. You say, why? Because I was his son. They weren't. Can I tell you something? If you don't get a spanking from God, that doesn't mean you're great. That means he doesn't care. That means you're not his son. If you never get spanked when you do wrong, if you are living in sin and God's not spanking you for it, that's a bad sign. You know why? Let me read what it says here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as his sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? There's no such thing according to God's mind. Verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all sons are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The reason why that word is a swear word is because we should never want anyone to be called that. It means fatherless. But you know what people are who are not saved? People who do not have God as their father? Guess what they are? That word right there. And I want someone to care about me, don't you? I want a heavenly father who looks after me and says, hold it. I was talking about this in Sunday school Friday night. I did not want to be out there, but I had made a commitment that I would help some people with a spiritual situation, and I was glad I did it. But I was driving home late in the dark on Friday evening, and it was black ice, and I was going up past Mike's place and the Linville's place, and I was doing fine. It was clear and everything, but then this doe steps right out in front of me and just stands there like, oh. And I touched the brakes, and I started fishtailing, and I'm sliding off. And I thought for sure we were going to crash. We didn't. Somehow I went around her and kept going. If I had crashed, I would have said, Lord, I'm not sure what that was for, but I'd like to know if there's something I need to know. You know what I'm saying? Lord, is there something I'm not doing right? I remember one time years ago, my brother-in-law in Belarus, he had an awful Thursday. They call it Black Thursday. He lost two vehicles in one day. It was an awful day. And he said, I'm not sure. And it's not. And just because you're having a bad time doesn't mean God is spanking you, okay? But as a Christian, whenever things are not going right, we should stop and say, Lord, is there something I need to know? Is this a spanking? Is there something I need to know? My brother-in-law called home to his mother back in the States. He said, Mom, you've been putting my tithe in the offering plate every week, haven't you? You know, is that what the problem is? Am I not, you know, whatever? We need to stop and take a look at ourselves. Lord, is this a spanking? Or are you testing me for a reason? Or what? Why is this happening? Why? We need to know why. Because listen, if you're one of his children, he doesn't let you just get by. He spanks you. There's a reason why he doesn't spank the others. It's like it says in Psalm 73, I don't understand why everybody else gets away with it and I don't. I'll tell you why, because he loves you and he doesn't them. In other words, he loves you as a father and they're not. They're just running around loose. There's a reason why some of these people that you see in Hollywood and in politics run around doing stuff. And there's a reason why they don't ever get spanked. They don't have a heavenly father. And you and I, we could never do that because we have one who says, don't you dare. All of his sons get chastened by him. Don't despise his chastening. It just means he loves you. Only bastards are without his chastisement. So it says here, verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, talking about our human fathers, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And that's true. A lot of times parents spank just because of their own, you know, immediate situation. But he, God, for our profit. Every time God gives us spanking, it's not for his pleasure, it's for our need. It's because we need to be learning a lesson that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Obviously. Never, ever did I ever get a spanking that I turn around and tell my dad, oh, that was great, Dad, thanks. However, verse 11, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I can't think of one spanking I enjoyed, but I will tell you this. All of them together, based on love and a desire for me to improve, have helped me to be who I am. And I can't say that I've appreciated all the things that God has had to do in my life to get my attention. I can't appreciate the feeling and the hurt that it brought. But I can tell you this. The result was worth it. The result was worth it. It's so important that we recognize our Heavenly Father loves us, and that's why he spanks. And never to be angry or upset. That's why if you're a Christian, you can say, all things work together for good. There's no bad days. It all works together for good. Those things that he's doing, those disciplinaries, at least he's paying attention to me. At least I know he cares enough to say, hey, you're not going to get away with that. And I praise the Lord for it. And I want you to understand, we should feel sorry. We should feel sorry for those people who God never spanks. Because this is all they got. But you and I, who have a loving Heavenly Father, who disciplines us in love and corrects us and makes us more like the only begotten, what a blessing. And parents with your children, or even grandparents with your grandchildren, it's so important that we point them to the Heavenly Father and we explain to them why they need to obey. It's not just for our pleasure. It's not just because we have a headache and we want to listen to the news or we want to talk on the phone. No, it's because they need to learn obedience for his sake. What a great family we become when we do that.